So, to the best of my knowledge, I did not complete or did not speak about Melchizedek. I think I did in Sunday school, but not Wednesday evening. Is that a true statement for you guys on Wednesday? I don't think we've done Melchizedek. No. Not on Wednesday? Okay, good. So then my notes are correct. Amen. So as we're talking about different types, tonight we're going to talk about, the first one we're going to talk about is Melchizedek, right? So I probably pronounce it wrong, but bear with me on this. So again, when we take the Bible, we're going to look at it. You always take it literally, unless the content itself says otherwise. But Melchizedek is a type of Christ, and we're going to see that. So just remember as we read some scriptures that are here, and I'll be asking you some things and try to remember about him. But in Genesis chapter 14, if you look at verse 18, so this was after, Lot was with Solomon them, and they were they got captive and taken, and Abraham, it was Abram at that time, went out with his trained servants and got him and brought him back. And as they were, they won the battle and stuff that was there. What we see is he was met. And he was met by this priest that was there, Melchizedek. And this verse 18, it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, of heaven and earth. And blessed he, the Most High God, which has delivered my enemies into thy hands, and he gave them tithes of all." Just as a free note, there's people who say tithing did not begin until the law, and the reality is this is before the law. And you could see tithing was there. So anyway, remember those things about Melchizedek. Hopefully you didn't forget. But look over here to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews is in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 7. So we see here Melchizedek. And if you want to, you can keep your finger in Genesis chapter 14 so that you can go back and look at it. And some things is already defined for us here in Hebrews chapter 7, where it talks about Melchizedek. So Hebrews chapter 7, looking here at verse 1. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, prince of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." So you may ask, a tithe, what is it? It's even defined it in the Bible, a tenth, right? So you may not like math, but if you think about it, a tenth, and you could see math is here, fractions, right? "First being an interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king to come, without father, without mother, without descent." So they're not saying that he did not have a father or mother. What they're saying is wasn't recorded about a father or mother, right? That was there, right? It says, "without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but was made like unto the Son of Man, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they had come out of the loins of Abraham." So that was a little bit of reading there of Melchizedek. So let's look at some of these things. So Melchizedek was considered what? Just look at the scriptures and what does the Bible say? What was Melchizedek? What do you see here? What's that?
High priest.
So we could see he was a priest, right? It mentions a priest. So he was a priest. What else do we see here?
King.
He was a king, right? And I think in the Bible it says back here in Hebrews, a king, right? King of righteousness and king of Salem, which is king of peace, right? So we could see he was king. What else was Melchizedek? Does it say about him that was there? Ariana? What's that? There's this mystery, a little mystery, right? That's there, right? Anything else that you see of Melchizedek? Yeah, without father, without mother, right? So that's really good. King of peace. King of peace, right? Anything else that you see there?
Nor end of life.
Yeah, nor end of life. Doesn't say, yeah. Go ahead, Arya. Tenth, right? So we take all those things. Now let's break that down and think about it, right? Because it says in the picture, because if you keep on going forward, we could see that, right? So one, it says he was king of righteousness, right? Now we're going to see a picture of Christ. He is righteous, right? So can't you see when it says of what he was, and he is king of righteousness, right? What else? It talked about peace. When you think about our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think about peace? He gives us peace, right? That blood that was shed on Calvary, you and I, you think about it, you don't have peace. The reality is this, until that day you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the wrath of God abiding on you. That day that you get saved, that blood has been applied, you now have peace with God. And that's a wonderful thing, right? So Melchizedek said he was of those things. What else did it say here, Melchizedek? He was what? I think you said it. He was, Stacy? King, right? And you think about Jesus Christ, what is he? He is king, yes. King of kings and lords of lords, right? So when you look at this Melchizedek, it's amazing, right? You stated a thing of a mystery, right? And you think about Christ, right? When he came, he was born of a virgin, right? But he was God in the flesh, right? God himself, God, the only begotten Son of God, came down, was born of a virgin, was placed in the womb, right? What else? There was something else. He gave tithes to Abraham. Now you think about Abraham, and you think about how people would look at Abraham, especially the Jewish people, right? Father Abraham or whatever that's there. And when you think about the one who gave tithes to the other is saying that this one is greater. It is a picture of Christ that Abraham, even though you think about the promise that was given and God promised that through his line, through Isaac and through his line, that Christ child would be born. The reality is this, Jesus is greater, right? And that's what it refers to. It talked about the endless, no father and no mother. How does that picture Christ? He's God, right? He was not created. He is the creator, right? So we could see that. It talks here about his, end of verse 3, abideth a priest continuously. How is that a picture of Christ? That's what he is. He is the great high priest. Yeah. But he's the great high priest, right? And you think about those priests in the Old Testament, they would bring those sacrifices. He is the sacrifice, but he is also the one, right, that we go to, right? And it's a wonderful thing. Look over here. He was king of, where is this? Verse 2, king of Salem. Do you know what king, you know what Salem became later? Do we recognize it as?
Jerusalem,
right? Think about that just for a moment. When Jesus comes back, where is he coming? And setting up his kingdom.
Jerusalem
in Israel, right? So if you think about these things of Melchizedek, which is a picture of Christ, and you look at the things of what he is, the reality is this, what you could see is you see a picture of Christ. I do not believe Melchizedek was Christ or, you know, God that was there, but he was a picture. It says made like unto the Son of Man, right? Like is a simile, doesn't mean it is, but it's a picture of those things. So if you think about that, it's amazing. What did Melchizedek bring? Do you remember? Well, we didn't bring peace. What did he bring to Abraham? You'll find that back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. Anyone remember? It's an open book quiz. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. Amen. It's open book. Just you have to find it. Amen. What did he bring to Abraham?
Bread.
He brought bread and what else?
Wine.
Wine, right? Bread and wine. What do you think that's a picture of?
The body and blood,
right? You think about when we do communion, right? We do communion and our Lord gave the ordinance to the church, and he gave one of the ordinance to the church where we would have that bread, right? And wine where we have that grape juice that's there. But it is a picture where he says that my body, right, was a picture of that bread. What was it? He brought that. Can I tell you, it's a wonderful picture. When you look at Melchizedek, it's a wonderful picture. As a matter of fact, if you keep on reading through the book of Hebrews, in that chapter, it still talks a little bit more about Melchizedek. I think in chapter 5, it talks a little bit more about him. But anyway, when you see that, you know what you see? You see a picture of Christ. Do you see that? Well, you can relate that to that. So it's a wonderful thing. What did he do? He ministered to Abraham. Abraham just got done with a what? Begin with a B.
Battle.
And he met him and ministered. Isn't that what God does for us? You go through a trial, and what is it? He's there to help you. Amen? He's there to encourage you. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, when you think about that, a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at him, we see it in his city. We see it in his name. We see it in his provision. We see it in his office. We see it in his work. We see it in his authority. Can I tell you, when you read that, you may have read that and been like, Melchizedek, you know, I don't see much. But can I tell you, you just look at that. God can open it up more as we looked in the book of Hebrews. But you see a wonderful picture of Christ. Well, can I tell you, sometimes I get excited when I'm reading my Bible and I go through and I look at things and it's like, woohoo, amen. But I want you to go over to the next one. Now, this one's a little bit deeper, right? So Leviticus chapter 4. Any questions with that, Melchizedek? Then maybe I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. That could be. I remember hearing one time that, you know, sometimes it's the way we pronounce things. And then you'll get someone that is very fluid in Hebrew, and then they'll show us that we're not even close. Amen? Look over here to Leviticus chapter 4. Now, Leviticus chapter 4. Now, Leviticus is an amazing book, right? So sometimes what can help you with if you're studying the book of Leviticus is go to the book of Hebrews. Now, I'm not saying everything is defined in the book of Hebrews, but there's a lot of stuff that's in Hebrews that tells us about the Old Testament. It talks about the tabernacle, talks about the Holy of Holies, talks about the different offerings. It may not get into all the details, but a lot of them it tells us it is a picture, right? It's a picture. These things that was there was a picture to Israel, right? The Holy of Holies, they could not enter in, right? And the tabernacle, the curtains that was there, it was kind of like they could not enter. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. The brazen altar, right, was made out of looking glass. It's interesting, right? The ladies brought those. See, even back in those days, the ladies cared what they looked like, right? So it was like a looking glass. It wouldn't be like the mirror that we have, but it was a looking glass. And that's what they brought to that brazen altar. And you think about that brazen altar. That brazen altar was a picture of judgment for sin. And when you look in the mirror, you know what you see? What's that? I see a handsome guy. Amen. No. But you know what you look? When you look in the mirror, you know what I see? I see me. And you think about that brazen altar, which is a picture of sin, of judgment. And the reality is, if I was back in those days and look at that brazen altar and say there was going to be judgment, the reality is it would just point right back to me, right? It was they used looking glass. Go back and look. And so anyway, what I'm saying is there's so much that's there if you look in the Bible. But look here at Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4. The Bible says, starting at verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments which the Lord of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them," ignorance, right? They just didn't know, right? It may be same to us. There'll be times we may do something and we don't know, right? And when God brings it to your knowledge, ask him to forgive you, amen, of what you've done. And then he says this, if a priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, right? The reality is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is not a single person that's without sin other than Jesus Christ. We're all guilty. Amen? The Bible tells us in the book of James, if you fail at one point, you're guilty of them all. You know, most people would say Hitler was a horrible person. He was. Stalin was a horrible person. He was. But so is Gramble, that's 90-some years old, and she lived a good moral life. Can I tell you, she is just as guilty as Hitler. I am just as guilty as Hitler. Jesus paid for our sins. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. But anyway, here it says the priest, right? If the priest sinned. So look what the Bible says here. Then let him bring for his sin, which he have sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the altar for its sin offering, right? So he was supposed to bring this offering. And what was this offering he was supposed to bring? For a sin offering. And what was the offering? It was supposed to be with what? Without blemish. Without blemish is a good picture of what?
Christ,
right? Because he is without blemish, means without sin, right? So so think about that. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hands upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. Why do you think he would do that? Take his hands and put it on the bullock. I know the part about killing it, right? Yeah, it's a picture, right? It's a picture that it's kind of his sins are transferring to the sin offering, right? It's a picture, which is a picture of Jesus Christ being our substitute, right? So what else do we see here? Verse 4. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand. I think we just read that, verse 4. Verse 5. And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. So what did the priest do here, right? So we know the animal is dead, right? And what does he do? He takes what? John?
He's shedding the blood.
It was the blood, right? So he's taking the blood. And what he's doing, I'm left hand, I'm sorry. So he's taking it and he's sprinkling it, right? You could see that's the blood applied. Now, how is that a picture of Christ, right? That he would shed our blood. And when you accept him as your Savior, you know, the blood's been applied. We sing that song, when I see the blood, amen? Passover lamb that was there, they had those, the post that was there. That if the blood was there, he would pass over. Where are we at? Down to verse 7. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's sweet smell that was there, right? When you think about that, that's a death, right? And it was a horrible death. You think about this animal that would die, shed its blood. But it's God accepts the death and the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And what it's saying, it's a picture of what Jesus would be, right? Let's see here. We're down here. I promise you, there's something here I want you to see. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, and the kidneys, it shall he take away, and it shall be taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of a burnt offering. Anybody remember the burnt offering? What was that? The burnt offering did what to that sacrifice? John. I'm telling you, he's got all the points tonight. Amen. Go ahead.
Is it to signify that it's being refined and the sin's being burnt?
Well, The burnt offering, all of it would be burnt up, right? Yeah, when the burnt offering, the priest wouldn't take any part of that. It was all burnt. It was a picture that what Jesus did for us was complete, right? It's completely done. So
it says seven times. He says seven's a lot in the Bible. I know it means completion, but like here where it says seven times.
They sprinkled it seven times. That was there, yeah. I have heard that of that people have said that it's like a completion, right? God accepts it or whatever, but yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I think that's what it is because in seventh day God rests. That's there, and you'll find it at different places. So down to verse 11, and the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, and his head and his legs and his inwards and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out. And burn them on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt, right? So let's think about this for a moment, right? So here it is. He has this animal, right? And he killed this animal. And you may say, well, that's horrible. Well, there has to be a sacrifice and a substitute for your sins and mine. It was a picture of what Jesus would do, right? And you're right, it is horrible. This right here is just horrible, but that's because of my sin. You know, when you start thinking about our sin, it is horrible. It is wicked what we have. We think about our sin was so bad that the Son of God had to come and die for us, right? I mean, think about it. So anyway, then he would take this animal, the carcass, he would have the skin and everything and take it. So now he's at the tabernacle. And now he's taking that. So I'm not going to do it because I have a bad back. But maybe I'll try, right? So it'd be kind of like this. Here's this big animal, right? You know, it's not that bad. And I take this big animal, and I'm taking it. I can hear Debbie already saying, your back's going to hurt. Oh, it's going to hurt. So anyway, I'm taking it. But you think about this. This is a picture. When I'm taking... There's people outside like, what? That preacher has lost it. He's going to throw that. What is going on, right? So anyway, he takes this. So if this is an animal, think about this for a moment. Wouldn't you notice it? You're going to recognize it, right? He's carrying it. Stay with me. Just realize he's carrying it, right? So he has to take it out to the place where they did the burnt offerings, right? But Elma, they're going to find a place that's clean, right? So here it is, you know, there couldn't be another offering that's there per se. Because Jesus sacrificed, it's him alone, right? Had to be clean. And then they took this bullock, this animal, and that, you know, all the stuff that's there. People saw him carrying this weight of this burden that's here, carrying it and putting it down here. And then, the fire would consume it, right? But it was outside of the camp. You following me?
So far.
Follow me? What's that? So go back to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews here. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. If I come in with a limp one Sunday, you know what happened. Amen. Go to Hebrews. It's all right. I got ibuprofen is good. Amen. Go here to Hebrews. Actually, sorry. Go to John first. I'm sorry. Keep your fingers in Hebrews. Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We'll come back to Hebrews chapter 13. So he took this animal, right? The blood was applied. He takes this animal. He's carrying this out. He puts it there for that burnt sacrifice. It's all burned up, but it's outside the camp, right? So, and if you remember, he said where the other ashes were, right? Remember that? So there was... It's death, right? That's there, right? So now look here at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Anyone have a thought before we read some verses? What's that? what we just read. Anybody want to try? Mark has a he's going to try. Go ahead.
Christ was going to die on the cross, and carried the cross through the city to the to Golgotha, which is outside the city.
Outside the camp. Yes. Yep. Bingo. Amen. So look here in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. So you know what's amazing? Is you can see it, right? You see the picture, right? When you read that, you see it. So in John chapter 19, look here at verse 16. Then, I'll get John 19 verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, right? So you think about that priest took that sacrifice that was there and took it outside the camp as a burnt sacrifice. It is a picture of Jesus Christ shedding his blood and being the great high priest of offering himself outside the camp.
Perfect.
As a place that was clean, of a place where there was ashes. So that means there may have been places where there was already dead. Golgotha, they call it the place of the skull, right? So do you see that? But anyway, go over here to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. So you think about that was a place of execution, right? For them to call that. The grave was not too far away, right? So it's a picture. Did you see that? You saw it now? Yeah. So look here at Hebrews chapter 13. You're never going to read Leviticus the same ever again. You may have thought, oh, what is it? So look here at Hebrews chapter 13. So again, I told you, Hebrews is a good book to read with Leviticus. Very good book. So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which served the tabernacle, right? So he's talking about the different things, right? The Jewish people. Those things was a picture of one day that what Jesus Christ would do. They continued to would hold on to those things, but the Messiah came. But look what he says here. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And here it is. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. It was a picture. That was a picture of Jesus Christ ultimately carrying, right, the burden, ultimately going outside the camp, that place where they had the ashes, which is a place of execution. They call it Golgotha, which is a place of a skull, a place that the graves were not too far, to a clean place because it was just his sacrifice. Nothing else is mixed with 100% pure. And he died for us, became our burnt sacrifice, 100%, amen, surrendered. Do you see that now? Before you may have read and been like, a clean place outside the camp. What does it is a picture of one day what Jesus Christ was going to do for you and me, amen? So again, when you take the Bible, is this meat, Mark? We're getting a little meat.
We got meat, all
right. Amen, amen. So anyway, when you take the Bible and you start looking at it, putting it together, everything together. Can I tell you, you can just go right through this book. You know what it does? It points to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, and the whole way through it. And you think about all the authors that wrote them, that God gave them over that period of time of almost 1,600 years. And you look at that, it just says Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling you, you can't find this in any book other than God's book, amen, his word, amen. So anyway, what we see is it's a wonderful picture of Jesus shedding his blood, making an atonement, suffering the shame. You imagine if you were that priest, let's say back in those days I was a Jewish priest. I'm not, right? But let's say I was a Jewish priest and I sinned. And now, you know, you would come to me for other things. And now you see me carrying this my back's going to really... You imagine me carrying this, the shame that it must have been? You know? And what do you see? Him. You know, his cross that's there. So we see this, the shame that's there. Remember what it talked about? It talked about a peace offering. What he did gave us peace. It talked about being a sacrifice outside the camp, making us clean. I mean, it's a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ where you may have read it before and looked at it and been like, I don't understand this. But if you just take your time, and again, Hebrews is a very good book. Hebrews kind of opens things up a little bit. And look in Hebrews, sometimes what you'll see is you'll see the coordination where it kind of takes this and brings it over to that way we can under it. It's a picture of what Jesus Christ would do for us. There's others. If you go here to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Any questions with that? Okay. All right. Exodus chapter 14. So there's other situations that may not be a type per se. Some could be a type, but some of it could just be an application, right? Where you look at something, you see an application that it's showing you something in the future, right? So if you look here at Exodus chapter 14, and for the sake of time, this may be the last one this evening. But Exodus chapter 14, especially since my back's going to fall over. Like, but I figured it'd be a better illustration by doing that. You could see it, right? So, no, it's not the same effect. Amen. So in Exodus chapter 14, Debbie is just going to hear it tonight. Oh, my back. Oh, what did I do today? I was carrying my pulpit. Amen. So but anyway, look here at Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. This is when Israel, God has delivered them out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not ye, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom ye seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight with you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And then jump down here to verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariots' wheel, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again unto the Egyptians upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Right? So we know this is the parting of the Red Sea that was there. You may ask, did this really happen? Well, sure, right? You know, there's some liberal scholars that are out there saying, well, we believe it had to be some kind of water that must have been really low at that time that was, I mean, just maybe knee deep or something. And that's probably where they crossed through, right? And can I tell you, that's dumb, amen? Because he said it was a wall. But let's think about, and when I read that one time, I laughed at it, like chuckled, and then I wanted to cry to think that these people would believe that. But my God can drown an army, amen, even if it's knee deep, amen? But anyway, people just have a hard time believing. Well, if you look at this book, you know, and you're just thinking, you take out the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God, and you forget that God is the one who said it and God is the one that does it, and you forget about God, then your eyes, you're not going to see it. But what do we see here? God parted this Red Sea, And Israel went through. Could the Egyptians go through? No. Did any of the Egyptians make it through? Right? That is a picture or an application, you could say, that Israel, because they believed in the Messiah, was able to cross over. But those who did not believe in the Messiah, right,
will
not go through. Right? So you think about heaven. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that is an application, not saying a picture or a type, right? An application. But you can find others. You think about it as an application. Remember, Moses interceded with God for Israel. You know, that's an application where Jesus is interceding, you know, for us. Joshua leading Israel into the promised land. He was considered their captain. And Hebrews chapter 2, again, Hebrews, we'll see it. He's called the captain of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's taken us to the promised land. There's a couple here that I may go through maybe next week. Did you ever hear of the guy, I'm going to say his name wrong, Mephibosheth. Has anyone ever remember him in the Bible? Remember? Some of them? Can I tell you, you want to see a wonderful picture of salvation, you could see it there. That would be something you can study on your own. You'll have to find out how to spell his name, amen? And but anyway, you can surely see it there, and it's a picture of salvation. But anyway, for the sake of time, we'll stop this evening. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I surely thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, and I pray, Father, I know there was a lot of information here, and I pray that people would be able to glean from it and learn from it. Lord, my desire is for them to see you, and Lord, to grow stronger in the faith, have a desire to look in your word, to grow. And Lord, I pray that would be what they would glean from it tonight. And Lord, other things that they get in there in your word. And there'll be a desire to just to keep on taking it in. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.